today's episode, we're talking about how to deal with negative comments on your content and ads.
This is JFDI with the Two Lauras, the podcast where we discuss all kinds of things related to working in social media, and we share tips, advice, ideas, and inspiration to help you freelance social media managers with your marketing and your business. Today on the show, we're talking you through how to deal with negative comments on both your own and your clients' content and their ads. From customer complaints to snarkiness, it can all like have a massive toll on you. So we'll talk about the practicalities as well as how to not let it affect your mindset or leave you not wanting to post at all. And I think that's a good place to start, Laura, is the mindset thing, because it can make you feel really crappy, can't it?
It can, especially if you're like tired, feeling fed up. Sometimes if it just hits you on a bad day, it can kind of snowball, can't it? And it can be hard to get perspective on it, I think.
Yeah.
But I personally think it's very different, my mindset and how it makes me feel when it's clients dealing with backlash versus when it's me or us.
Yeah.
With my clients, I think I click into kind of professional mode. We've got a process. We know how to deal with these things. It's just a case of dealing with it in the way that's been agreed with the client. With us or me, but normally us, I really struggle.
Yeah.
In that I get like heart palpitations when someone is negative towards us. Nine times out of 10, probably even 9.99% of the, no.
The vast majority
of times when people have been negative to us, it's been absolute bullshit and it's not been true. But I still get worked up because it bothers me so much, because it's like, no, you're wrong. But Enneagram 8 in me wants to have it out with that person.
I
want to be like, well, you're wrong. Like, screw you. And I want to list out every reason that they're wrong. And I want to, but I know the professional person.
Oh, this feels so familiar.
I know the professional person in me knows that that isn't going to get me anywhere. But it makes me, I don't think the heart palpitations are like an anger thing. It's like a panicky kind of thing. Like, how can we make this right? Because, you know, we do.
Feel like this, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And like, we care what people think. We care a lot, probably too much. So, you know, when if we've ever been called out on something where we've been wrong, we'll own it and we'll apologize and we'll rectify it. But I don't, thankfully, that doesn't happen too much. But yeah, it's when people are just
vile,
like passive aggressive, or just like horrible.
Yeah. And I think we're lucky because there's two of us. So typically what happens with us is when there's some sort of negative comment, whoever sees it first is the person that then starts having a meltdown. And the other person is like, get a grip, it's fine. Don't worry about it. You know, the person's an idiot. But the person who saw it first is still having this meltdown and like having the power palpitations. And then what happens typically in our business is we'll sort it. And then the following day, the person who was cool is then the person who's having a meltdown about it.
Like a delayed reaction.
Yeah, totally. So I can imagine that if you work on your own, that you don't have that kind of person to talk you off the ledge. And especially if you are an Enneagram 8 like Laura and I, you might kind of go back and fight your corner, which obviously isn't the best thing to do. But I think it's worth kind of just highlighting that, you know, sometimes you just need to speak to somebody else about it so they can talk you off the ledge and kind of remind you that this person doesn't actually matter in the grand scheme of things. And so like when this happens to us in the evening is the worst, because the way that I tend to deal with things that affect me on the internet is I go out of my house, I either go for a walk or a drive, and I see all of these other human beings that have got nothing to do with whatever we're dealing with on social. And then I'm suddenly reminded, okay, that person in my phone is just an idiot. And like, they, you know, it's their problem, not mine. Because look at all of these other people out in the world who are having a jolly old time who are not affected by this thing. But when that happens at night, you can't do that. And you're just stuck in your phone. Yeah. And it's really stressful. So that's like one of the things I would do.
Yeah, and just on that, where you say, you know, you can realise that the problem is on that person, it's not about you. And I think, you know, on the times that we have ever had negative comments, I am able to just go, you know what, this is as my 11-year-old daughter would say, this is a you problem, not a me problem. There's something going on in their world to make them feel passive aggressive towards us. And it's a reflection on them and it's not a reflection on us. Nine times out of 10, you know, not all the time, but a large part of the time, it is just them. And you just realize that, you know, not that this excuses it, but people have got shit going on in their life. If someone's had a really shit day and then they see your content, for example, and it kind of triggers something, as the kids say, they can then comment. And actually that comment isn't really towards you. It's not about you, but it's about what they've gone through that day or going through at that time. And it's always part of a bigger picture, a bigger problem. And you're just someone who takes that kind of hit. And I think it's really important that people don't react. And we've learned over the years because we are very incredibly reactive people. And this is probably one of the biggest learning curves for us, is we've learned not to be impulsive, not to be, I'm going to tell them what I really think. Despite the fact that we can write it out in draft, we will then delete it. Because we're able now to take a step back and just say to ourselves, you know, how is this going to look? Is this actually going to resolve the issue? Is the issue resolvable? Maybe this person is just some passive aggressive idiot who just likes to piss people off so they can go and create some other content about it, whatever it is.
I think that's an important point to make, because I think there are some personality types that just like to kind of fight their own battles and fight other people's battles. And I remember when I was growing up, my dad, because I am an Enneagram 8 and I am the sort of person who will go and stick up for people and I will try and fight other people's battles. And he would always say to me when I started trying to do that, he would always say, is this your battle to fight? And that kind of always kind of pulls me back before I start turn into a keyboard warrior. But some people don't have that in their brain. So if they've got that personality where they want to go and fight a battle on behalf of themselves or somebody else because they disagree with something, they're not going to stop themselves. They are going to do it. And that isn't on you. That's on their personality type.
Yeah. Yeah. And people sometimes just feel like they have to say something. I find it with, especially with my clients more than us, like the comments people leave on some of our content and ads, it's like why did you even bother? It's like, you know, one of the businesses is promoting something in London and people will comment and go, not London. Oh no, not London. It's like, why? Like what? Why? What does anyone gain from commenting that? It's just, some people just feel like they've got to say something for the point, you know, for the sake of saying it. And, you know, when we can talk about how we kind of deal with that.
Some people, that's their whole content strategy and their whole engagement strategy is to just go and be mean.
Piss people off, excuse my French.
It's very odd. Okay, so how do we deal with this? Should we get on with how to actually practicalities of dealing with stuff?
Yeah, okay. So, well, just on more from your personal perspective, and dealing with your mindset and trying to protect yourself, I would really recommend trying to have things like notifications turned off, especially like in the evenings, especially nowadays on iPhones where you can have like different kind of focuses, can't you?
So I just have to say, this is making me have heart palpitations in itself.
Like I know you are not down with this, the queen of notifications, but try and have your notifications off on an evening, because the last thing you want to do if you're not working is to just be getting yourself comfy in bed and up pops some passive aggressive comment on your content, because you won't sleep. You're going to have a shit time. You've got no one to speak to because it's kind of late at night. The kids aren't interested, you know, so just try to protect yourself, because you're not a 24-hour service. And yes, it does land differently when it's on your own content. But from a client perspective, you're not paid to be there 24/7. And those comments will be fine to deal with in the morning. The whole world is not going to fall apart. Their whole business will not collapse because of one shitty comment on their content. So it doesn't matter if you don't see it until the next morning. So try to just put some boundaries in place to protect yourself from that. And don't go on social media until at all, unless you're prepared to see those notifications. So if you're not in the mood, like if I'm not in the mood to deal with shit, I just won't open social media because I just don't want to have to deal with it if it's negative. So I'll just think I'll do this in an hour when I've got more time, or, you know, so I purposely won't open. It's like literally I've just opened Facebook now just before we're recording this podcast and I had like 50 million notifications. And I was like, ah, because I'd done it by accident.
Of course, we had to wait then for you to deal with everything, because otherwise it wouldn't get done.
I'd opened it by accident. So I was like, right, I'm just going to have to spend like quick 5 minutes now just to check there's nothing I need to deal with and nothing shit, you know, is kicking off. But normally I won't open an app, a social media app, until I'm in the mindset and the frame of mind to be able to deal with whatever is going to be thrown at me. So protect yourself, in summary. Try to put some boundaries in place.
Yeah. And I think when we're talking about dealing with it, I think there's different types of comments and they probably all need kind of different ways of dealing with them. So you've got like your people who are complaining, like genuine customers who are complaining about things that need resolving. You've got people who are just like snarky commenters who are just leaving annoying comments or like sleazy comments. And then you've got, and I don't know if you've ever had one of these, but one of my clients would have people who would just go after them all the time. So you've got those kind of people who, it doesn't matter what you post, they're just going to go after your business all the time, all the time. And I think there's different ways to deal with all three of those people. So should we start with like complaints?
Yeah. So I have a lot of complaints for one of my clients' businesses, bless them. Although, to be fair, less so recently. So there was a very kind of defined process that was agreed as to how we would deal with things. So we would have different responses. So I'd got a document where I'm basically saying, I'm sorry that you've experienced this, what we've done. So it will say we've highlighted the problem, or we've made the director aware of the problem. Here is the direct email address, but he is also aware of the problem and will try to contact you directly tomorrow. The words to that effect. And we've got a few different versions to that that I can kind of tweak and make obviously specific. So then, and then I do have that process. So I do then inform them whatever time of day, I will just drop them a message and say, look, you've got this. This is how I've handled it. Over to you now. So having those kind of clear steps and processes you need to take, especially when it's with your clients, is really important. And that's something you should be tackling right at the start of your relationship. Like, what do I do when someone complains? And it may well be your client says, I want to deal with it, so just let me know. But it may well be, like in my instance, we decide on a process that kind of involves me, kind of involves them. So there is no right or wrong, but you have got to agree that with your client, because at the end of the day, it's your client's call as to how they want things like that to be dealt with. But also, I think it's really important that your clients know, like we've already talked about, you are not 24/7. And, you know, we live in a difficult world as social media managers where people like to use social media personally. So it's like on the weekend, I still like to go on social media. So it's annoying when you see something crop up from a client and you have to take that call. Like, I don't really work weekends. Should I be getting involved in this? Like I would. I'd just screenshot it and I'd send it to my client and say, look, you've got this problem. I'll respond, because it takes me 2 minutes. But obviously lots of people wouldn't want to do that. So when you're discussing with your clients how you're going to deal with these kind of complaints and how is it going to be escalated, and that you also have it, and what happens when I'm not working? What happens when a complaint comes in on an evening or a weekend or what have you? So just make sure that you cover that. Because it's a great way to remind clients that you're not 24/7.
And I remember you saying to me once that you had a client who would, and it may well be the same client you're talking about, who would have like complaints, but you actually had to physically give them their passwords, show them how to log in, show them where to find the notifications, because not everyone knows how to do that, do they? So it's also okay to make sure they actually know how to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's been banned from social media now, so I don't actually know how that would happen, but yeah.
Okay.
Maybe need to review that one. Yeah. So I think with complaints, like formal complaints from a customer about the business, the product, whatever it is, you need to have a process. You need, and like that has to be agreed from the start.
Yeah. And I think to a degree that probably carries across for like the snarky comments and the people who are just the sort of people who are just going to come after your business, because especially at the beginning, if you don't really know, like, you know, who these people are. Like, so I remember this one client that I worked with at the beginning, well, throughout the whole time I worked with them, they would have this one, they were like a animal supplement company, and they would have this one guy who obviously didn't agree with supplements, and he would come after them all the time, literally all the time. He would comment on their ads, he would comment on their posts, he would go and slag them off in groups, like all the time. So when I very first started and I started seeing those comments, I was like, who's this dude? And so we had to have this whole conversation and find out who is this dude? And we had to have a whole process of how we dealt with him just with this one person, because he was just always hanging around and always doing something. So it might be that you do need that sort of process as well. And it might be that you work in the sort of industry where they get, you know, negative comments all the time, like supplements, diet, fitness, all those kind of industries, they get negativity all the time, don't they? So you kind of need a way to deal with that. And, you know, and it might not always be from the same person, but you need to know, like, how do I deal with this? And one of the things you need to make sure is that all of the content that you're putting out is accurate and right, and your client actually agrees with it. And that is their stance on things. So that, you know, if somebody does disagree, you know that you can stand your ground if needs be, because what you've put in that content is accurate.
Yeah, the last thing you want is for a client to come back and say to you, well, hang on, why the hell have you written that? Because that's not true, because then you've been the problem. Like, you've put out content that isn't factually correct. It's created a load of backhanded comments or complaints, and the client didn't sign it off. So if you do work in an industry that is quite controversial, maybe, or just generally does seem to spark people's keyboard warriors in them, then maybe you do need to just be aware of that and think about how you have that approval process kind of ironed out in your business. And I think you can also, the platforms are, you know, I was going to say they are good, but they're not, are they?
No.
But they are better than they were. And, you know, you can have, there are ways to filter out comments. So comments automatically get hidden. We had a snarky comment the other week, didn't we, on Threads, and it automatically, which honestly, it just cheered me up no end. It just automatically got filtered as spam and misleading by Threads. So that's good for a new platform. But when I was in there chuckling away, you can also add other filters that you set yourself. Say, for example, swear words you could put in, and any
like keywords
and kind of common terms, keywords that people may use in their passive aggressive comments that you can automatically filter. Now that the individual person doesn't know that they've been filtered out. And I don't really know how it works on all of the platforms, but my point being, use what's there. Like, if there is a way to do things like filtering, hiding comments, do it. Like, I hide comments all the time for my clients, and where some person has left some what they think is really funny comment. And I don't want the aggro of deleting it, but I just hide it. So they can just chat about it amongst them and their little posse of friends who might have seen him comment, but none of the other customers see it. Likewise, if there's like loads of swear words and it's not like obviously on brand for that client, then I would, again, I'd hide them. Mm-hmm. So you like use the facilities that the platform allows you to use to try to help you.
And I think sometimes that's a better way to do it than deleting it, because if you, like this guy with my old client, if we'd have deleted one of his comments, he would have then gone on his personal profile, had an old rant, we would have had no control over that whatsoever. Whereas just by hiding it, all of his cronies who agree with him can still see his comments, but no one else who doesn't agree can see them. So I think that's always definitely a better thing to do than delete. Obviously, there are times to delete it, but I think that's probably a better first step.
Yeah, no, I agree. But then, so what do we do if things kick off? Like, so this is how we deal with one maybe passive aggressive comment or maybe one complaint. What happens if, like, I know something happened the other week on that. Do you remember that supplement brand? I'm not going to say her name. And she introduced a new supplement or a supplement.
And she knew vaguely remember what you're talking about. Yeah. And everyone lost it.
Yeah. She'd essentially been like a content creation, education content creator, and then she introduced a product, and everyone kicked off on this thread, and it was thousands and thousands and thousands of comments. So what do we do? And I hope no one ever has to deal with that kind of thing, but what do we do when it all kicks off?
Well, I think if it's for your own business, it'll be very different than if it's for your client. And I think if it's for a client and it's of that scale, it needs to be a conversation with that client. Like, I don't think you are in a position to make any decisions about what to say to people, how to stop it, what to turn off, what to delete, what to come back with the next post. It needs to be a whole strategy meeting with that client, in my opinion, because it is their business, and it's their business it's going to have an effect on, not yours. So, and I think it would really depend on the actual situation. Like with that lady, with the supplements, it's almost a case of you just need to kind of let things die down a bit, don't you?
Yeah, which I think is what they did. I don't think they even tried to intervene. I think they just decided to let it go. And
because the more you justify your decision, the worse it gets.
And I think sometimes you can have one person who comments, and obviously this does depend slightly on the platforms, but you have one person who comments and kicks off, and then everybody's kicking off kind of in the thread of that original response. Yeah. And I think in those instances, it's slightly easier. You could, again, you could try and hide it so less people are getting involved. So it slows it down a little bit, you know, and if necessary, you can reach out to that person. But as you say, that if it's for a client, you need to be doing that under your client's kind of approval. If it's for your business, you could kind of reach out to that person and say, look, you know, you've left this comment on my content. It's actually factually incorrect. Here's the proof. Or I'm really sorry you feel like that. I'm sorry that I've done whatever I've done, if that's the case, and try to rectify the situation directly with that person. Because, you know, I've had this with clients before where someone has massively kicked off. There was someone who was leaving, he left a review, a negative review. His wife left a negative review. It looked like all of their friends were leaving negative reviews. They were commenting on all these different posts, basically like copying and pasting. They were also going over onto like Google reviews, things like that. They were having a bad morning. And I was deleting comments, hiding comments, because you can hide that, but you can't do anything about the negative reviews. So I was like constantly in conversation with my client saying, right, I need to respond to this. I need to visibly respond to it. And he picked up the phone to this man and tried to resolve. Like, to be fair, the man had a reason to complain, but obviously the way he went about it was a little bit like cray cray. But the client rang him and said, look, this is what we're doing, da, 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 da. And then he did all the things that he promised him to do. And then it was like about a week later, he said, look, you know, they were on better terms and the man was happy with how it had been resolved. So he did say, can you remove that comment and those reviews? And they did in the end. So there are ways. And obviously that wasn't a quick win. That took time. And my client had to like stick to his end of the bargain. Is that the right phrase?
Yeah.
I'm not very good with my phrases.
I feel like we need a whole podcast just about the phrases that Laura Davis can't kind of quite get out properly.
But I think, you know, there is not one size fits all to these kind of situations. But I think don't tackle any of this on your own. If it's a client account, the buck stops with them, not you. So 100% involve them. If you have to speak to them 20 times in a day, that's not your problem. You know, you are trying to help. You are trying to rectify the situation. You're not being a pain in the arse. You are trying to help their business. You're trying to, you know, it's like damage limitation, isn't it? And it's not to be knocked. And if it's on your account, don't kind of suffer in silence. Don't, even if you feel like you have done something wrong, no one deserves to be essentially trolled and have horrible comments. It's not the right way to deal with things, she says, coming from a person who likes to go on Twitter and have a complaint about things all the time. But you know, if people are nasty and unkind, it's not the right way to deal with it. So talk to people at home, like come and chat with us. You know, we've got a free Facebook group, the Inner Hub Facebook group. Come and ask in there, like, look, this someone's just commented this, how shall I deal with it? Because just from Laura and I, our experience of, like, Laura will say, this is how I want to respond. And I'll go, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, sometimes when it's like, you know, problem shared, it's a problem halved. And I think you just sometimes need fresh eyes on these situations, don't you?
Yeah, I would agree.
Don't panic and don't be too reactive. if it's your content, if it's your client's content, then the buck stops with them.
Yeah, I would agree. Definitely. And don't let it get to you. Like, you know, just remember that old Bob who's leaving you snarky comments is probably having a really rough day. So let's just feel sorry for poor old Bob.
Yeah. And actually, that is a good mindset shift. Like someone told us that a while ago when we had another problem with someone being arsey with us. And someone said, look, you know, just pity them. Pity them.
Yeah.
Because that is the last thing they would want, is for you to pity them. And it really helped us. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to pity them. And it did, that mindset shift really changed. And I never really gave it any thought again.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've kind of covered like hiding comments and et cetera. But what point do we go, you know what, I'm just going to delete this?
I think it depends on the situation. And there are times that we would just delete if we're just like, screw you. Like we would look and be like, okay, you're never going to be a customer of ours. You're not the like in our audience. You've got totally different views to us. We might go and look at their profile and like, you know, be a bit stalkerish. And then be like, no, sod off. We're going to delete you. And quite often we would then also block, delete and block. You're out of our lives for good. But I think when it's on a client content, I would be a little bit more careful personally.
Oh, see, I delete a lot.
Do you?
I'm a bit brutal, but I think I look at it, you've got three options, haven't you? And this goes for all of them. You can either engage with it, you can either ignore it, or you can delete it.
Yeah.
You've just got three options. And I think anything that's spam, delete.
Oh, yeah, delete.
Anything that's like spreading kind of hate or vile comments, anything that's really got loads of swear words in, I just delete. It's not appropriate. It's not right. Like I get with one of my clients, really derogatory, horrible comments, particularly about women. So it does get my back up and I just delete them and I block and I report.
I think it's good that you delete them because you get rid of the comment. But also I think by deleting them, you're less likely to have more. And I know you get loads of those kind of comments. But the more there are there, the more, for some reason, these sleazy men feel like it's okay to leave more comments. And it's like, you know, I really want to screenshot it and send it to your wife, but all I'm going to do actually is just going to just delete it.
If you think, you know, in a very simplistic terms, if you've got a, and I'm generalizing, but this is what is happening for a particular client of mine, it's middle-aged, lonely men are commenting on these posts and then the algorithms will keep showing it to more of those kind of similar people.
Yeah.
And that will go the same probably with ads as well. So it's a tricky situation to be in. And they're vile. They're vile, which is why I just report them, block them, and delete them. Because there is no, the individual women that are in those pieces of content, and mad, like I would be gutted if they logged on and saw those comments about them.
Mm. And I saw you give some advice. I did see you give some advice to somebody in our membership the other day who was dealing with something similar to that on ads. And it was all like men leaving sleazy comments. And
yeah, they were awful.
If I remember rightly, I think the product was like something for women. I can't remember what it was.
No, it was women and men.
Oh, right. Well, so the advice you gave originally, and I don't know what happened afterwards, was, you know, if the customer isn't men, don't show the ads to men, which I think is good advice. You know, if it's on ads, try and take those people out of your audiences.
Yeah, unfortunately, that age group of men was in her target audience. So it wasn't, because my advice was just send the ad to females. So what we then said was, well, and you shouldn't have to do this. And it does get my back up, the feminist in me starts getting a bit ranty. But,
but it's just the human in you. It's not even a feminist thing, is it?
Well, this is true, but I just think, so like we said in the end, you know, maybe that particular creative needs to be on ads. She needs to split her audience down and have men's targeting and female targeting, because she is a freelancer. Was having like there were like her loads of comments she was having to like hide, and you know I'd just delete them. And people will say, well, it will have a negative impact on the ads. I'm like, I don't care. Like I don't care. And to be fair, my clients are always horrified by some of the comments that are said, so they wouldn't care. To them, it's more important that things like that are stopped.
And I think there's kind of a balance, isn't there? Like, what's more important, having a negative impact on your ads and like you're at the algorithm, or having a negative impact in the humans who are seeing that you're allowing these comments on these ads in their feed?
Exactly. And unfortunately, you know, the hiding of comments doesn't stop everybody from seeing it. And
no.
So yeah, I'm quite brutal, but my clients know that. Like I've always said, I just delete anything like that, and they've never ever. And I sometimes screenshot them and say, "This is the kind of thing I'm dealing with in the moment," just so they know that I'm what it's like on the front line.
Dramatic.
So with your client, you're going to want to have these conversations. Like, when do you want me to delete? Is it when they're swearing, or maybe, you know, are you okay with swear words, but you're not okay with kind of abusive or derogatory comments, like whatever that may be. And again, sometimes the AI of these platforms can kind of work in your favor in these instances, and comments and can be taken down automatically, although not that often, but, you know, still work to be done.
Definitely.
And I think just to reiterate, really, that the ability to block people is, it's not fail-safe, because people can just come and comment on a different profile. But again, the platforms are getting a little better now. Like, I know on Instagram, if you block someone, you can also select and block any other accounts that they create.
Yeah.
So I think if you think people are going to come back and keep hounding you, you know, like Laurie, your ex-client's customer, if it was a customer, there's ways, you know, you can block them, and that can try to limit, you know. And if they then start emailing, and that's fine, because that's kind of off social media. It's not on that kind of shop front, I guess. And then the admin within the organization will have to deal with it, but at least it's not in a public fronted platform.
Yeah, agree. On that note, please don't come and leave us any negative comments on our podcast or our socials, because Laura Davis will end up deleting and blocking you.
I have hard palpitations.
But we would love to know if you are finding the podcast useful and interesting, and if you enjoy it. So wherever you're listening, if you just open up your phone and head to the review section, give us 5 stars if you love it. We would appreciate it, and let us know what you love about the podcast. Those reviews really help us to bring the podcast to more listeners as well. So it will help more social media managers. So we do really appreciate those. And we do read them all. There we go.
We do indeed. And if you're really struggling with this and you don't know how to kind of tackle this with your clients, in the Social Media Manager Toolkit, there is a crisis management template, because we've thought of everything in there that you can use, and you can go through that. So you've got some of those responses and a plan in place for any of these instances that may arise. So go and jump into that if you've got the Social Media Manager Toolkit.
Yeah, and if you haven't, we'll pop the link in the show notes.
Right, we'll see you next week.
Have a good week. Toodle pip.
Bye.